hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Madrid, Spain, where a big UEFA Champions League football match will be played about 2 hours from now. Real Madrid will host Manchester City in the decisive second leg of their semifinal series. The clubs played a scoreless draw last week in Manchester, England. Real Madrid is the grand master of European soccer, having won a record 10 European titles. Man City, meanwhile, is in the UEFA Champions League semifinals for the first time. A capacity crowd of more than 80,000 is expected at the Santiago Bernabéu Stadium. Should Real Madrid prevail this evening, it would set up another all-city UEFA Champions League final against Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid defeated Atletico Madrid 4-1 in extra time in the 2014 UEFA Champions League final in Lisbon, Portugal. On Tuesday in Germany, a goal from French striker Antoine Griezmann in the 54th minute sent Atletico Madrid to the final for the second time in 3 seasons, even though Atletico lost the match 2-1 at Bayern Munich. Atletico progressed on the away goals rule with an aggregate score of 2-2 after winning the first leg of the semifinal in Madrid 1-0. Bayern's goals on Tuesday came from Spanish midfielder Xabi Alonso in the 31st minute and Polish striker Robert Lewandowski in the 74th minute. Both clubs missed penalty shots in the match. Bayern's Thomas Müller could not convert in the first half, and Atletico striker Fernando Torres had his spot kick stopped by Bayern goalkeeper Manuel Neuer late in the second half. Now, last week I gave a sunny side of sports salute to Atletico's 23-year-old Slovenian goalkeeper Jan Oblak, who before Tuesday's match had kept a clean sheet in 5 consecutive matches. Oblak said afterwards, and I quote, "Well, we're into the final. We can be proud and happy. Bayern have amazing players up front, and it was impossible to keep a clean sheet." Meanwhile, Madrid is not just celebrating UEFA Champions League football this week. It's also celebrating tennis. The Spanish city is hosting the Madrid Masters Clay Court Tournament. Local favorite Rafael Nadal of Spain, widely regarded as the greatest clay court player of all time, got off to a good start. Rafa easily defeated Russia's Andrei Kuznetsov in straight sets, 6-3 and 6-3. Nadal broke Kuznetsov's serve once in the first set and twice in the second, in his opening match at a tournament he's won twice in the past 3 seasons. Rafa has now won 11 consecutive matches and seems to be picking up his tennis ahead of the French Open later this month. Talk to us, Rafa!
It's obvious that when in the past, and in, if we take a look at my career, when I have been able to play matches in a row and compete well weeks in a row, then I feel myself stronger and I feel myself better, no, and happy the way that I started for sure the clay court season, and today is another victory, so that's a great news, and I'm excited about this tournament.
Spanish tennis star Rafael Nadal, excited to play this week at the Madrid Masters clay court tournament. Rafael Nadal is currently ranked 5th in the Association of Tennis Professionals World Tour rankings. Serbian star Novak Djokovic is firmly at the top of the rankings with 7,625 ranking points ahead of second place Andy Murray of Britain. Now, just to put those ranking points in perspective, Murray is only 390 ranking points ahead of world number 3 Roger Federer of Switzerland. Another Swiss player, Stan Wawrinka, is ranked 4th in the world, and Nadal is 5th. Taking a quick look at the top 5 in women's tennis, Serena Williams of the United States is number 1, and she's followed by Agnieszka Radwanska of Poland at number 2, and Angelique Kerber of Germany at number 3. Spanish player Garbina Muguruza and Victoria Azarenka of Belarus round out the top 5 in women's tennis. Now let's go to Rabat, Morocco, where the Trophy Hassan II golf tournament tees off on Thursday. Reporter Mark Tompkins has this preview for us from Rabat.
After 5 years in Agadir, the Trophy Hassan II returns to Rabat in what is a unique event that sees the men's and ladies' European Tour play simultaneously at the same venue for the first time. With 2015 winner Richie Ramsay not here to defend his title, it's a chance for others to improve their position in the race to Dubai standings. Welshman Rhys Davies is the only player in the field to have won over this course back in 2010, while Michael Hoey and David Horsey both triumphed in Agadir in this event in recent years and are among several players that need a good showing to kick-start their season. Also in the field this week is Andrew Johnston, who plays for the first time since his maiden European Tour win in Spain last month. As a side issue, with under 100 days to go until the Olympic Games, wins for France's Alex Levy or New Zealand's Ryan Fox would all but guarantee their places in Rio. But before they can think about that, they have to negotiate the 7,487-yard red course designed by Robert Trent Jones and regarded as one of the best venues on the whole African continent. In an event hosted by His Royal Highness Prince Moulay Rashid, it'll be a fascinating 4 days to see who'll be crowned winner on Sunday, adding their name to a star-studded list that stretches back 45 years.
Mark Tompkins reporting from Rabat, Morocco. Mark talks about that star-studded list of previous champions in Morocco. Mark had a chance to talk with the 2010 winner, Welsh golfer Rhys Davies, ahead of Thursday's first round. And Rhys tells Mark he's looking forward to checking out the course in Rabat.
I'd be interested what I think of the course. Obviously, your memories, I think, what, 6 years ago for me, and things have changed in so many different ways for me as a person and as a player. And I also understand they've made some alterations to the golf course. So all in all, I don't know what my impression will be. I'm giving it a great deal of thought yet, simply because I've been focusing on my trip out here to China. But, I'm looking forward to it. It'll hopefully bring back some really good memories.
What are the standout memories when you think back? Obviously winning and lifting the trophy.
Mainly, I think my standout memories are my mental resolve and my attitude to the weekend play in particular, but particularly the final round. I remember feeling completely resilient. Nothing would faze me. Nothing would bother me. And if I anywhere the ball's on the green, I was just going to try and hold it. And that was my strongest memory. I think I can remember hitting some certain shots, of course, but it was my overall mental approach. And I try and do that every round I go, every round I play. It doesn't always equate that way, obviously, in golf, but I somewhat try and get close to that, those feelings and those thoughts, because I know I was really clear in what I was doing that week.
And 6 years, does it feel like a long time? Because there's a lot that's happened.
Yeah, there's loads happened. It probably doesn't. I mean, when you have good memories like that, they are... Yeah, they're very much in the forefront of your mind, and you can recollect them very easily. So in that respect, it doesn't seem like 6 years, no. But in other respects, a lot has happened since then. So, yeah, there's been good, bad and ugly, but that's the game.
That's Welsh golfer Rhys Davies. And he was talking with Mark Tompkins ahead of the Trophy Hassan II tournament in Rabat, Morocco. Davies won the tournament in Rabat in 2010.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I heard the voice of America calling on my way of life. Man was calling out of Frankfurt and Maine. I heard the voice of America calling on my way of life. Singing, come
listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of my former Voice of America colleague, Ashanafi Abeje, who recently retired after nearly 34 years of dedicated service. My producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, took the nice photo, which includes Ashanafi's wife and two children. Another former colleague, the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, saw the photo on Facebook, and he had this to say in the comments section. Barry writes, "People like my dear friend and colleague Ashanafi Abeje don't come along very often. They are indeed extremely rare and valuable gems. In fact," writes Barry, "if you find one in your lifetime, you should consider yourself extremely fortunate." That's the sentiment each one of us was feeling as we paid tribute to Ashanafi at his retirement party April 29th in the offices of the Voice of America. And the old sports emperor continues writing this about Ashanafi. He was one of the true legends of the VOA, and his wise counsel, leadership, and overall excellent journalistic instincts and skills will be truly missed. I love the way Barry signs off. Happy retirement, dearest Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah makes me want to roar. Lion of Judah, you'll be missed more than you'll ever know. Danjuma Mabus, writing from Jos, Nigeria, says he'll miss hearing Ashanafi's voice on our Voice of America airwaves. Danjuma also says he misses the voices of a couple of my dearly departed VOA colleagues, Al James and King Richard Cote. Rest in peace, Al and King Richard. The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Wednesday night with one game in Cleveland, Ohio. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 2 of their second-round series. LeBron and the Cavs clipped the wings of the Hawks in the opener of the best-of-seven-game series, winning 104-93. In NBA playoff action Tuesday night, the Miami Heat and the defending champion Golden State Warriors both posted victories. The Heat defeated the host Toronto Raptors 102-96 in overtime in Game 1 of another second-round series. Slovenian guard Goran Dragic had a game-high 26 points for Miami, while his backcourt partner Dwayne Wade scored 7 of his 24 points in the overtime period. In Oakland, California, the reigning champion Warriors rallied in the fourth quarter and beat the visiting Portland Trail Blazers 110-99. Golden State now leads this second-round series 2-0. Klay Thompson scored 27 points for the Warriors, who once again played without their injured superstar, Stephen Curry, the league's reigning most valuable player. Game 3 in this series will be Saturday night in Portland, Oregon, and Curry, who has been dealing with a knee sprain, could be back in Golden State's lineup. Curry, by the way, is a strong favorite to win his second consecutive Most Valuable Player trophy. He's also picking up other prizes. Curry won the Magic Johnson Award, given by the Professional Basketball Writers Association, to an NBA player who combines excellence on the court with cooperation with the public and the media. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. I mentioned Dwayne Wade. He had a pretty big game for the Heat on Tuesday night. I think he's also trending in social media.
He is, because even before he took the court on Sunday night, he was, during the national anthem, appeared to be crying. And a lot of people commenting this on this on social media saying, what's up with this? Is he getting really emotional, feeling really patriotic? Well, he's finally come out on Twitter and responded and said that just before the game, he found out from a radio interview that he was the favorite basketball player of musician Prince, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. So he said he was so emotional because he found out he was Prince's favorite basketball player. That was why he got emotional. He said, you never know who your life will impact. And he said that on Twitter. So he was, you know, that explains the emotion. A lot of people on social media saying what I would probably say. They said, if I found out I was Prince's favorite player, I'd probably be crying too.
And Andrew, as you mentioned, after Prince's passing, the great musician, also a big basketball fan.
Huge basketball fan, huge to Minnesota, all the sports teams there putting out things on their social media. A lot of videos from when he was at the Golden State Warriors game. Several months before his death, he did a concert in Oakland where he called out Steph Curry. There was a lot of speculation that Steph Curry was his favorite player because he called him out and gave him a shout-out at the concert. But yeah, a lot of love for Prince across the sports world. In fact, the Minnesota Twins, the baseball team in his home state of Minnesota, said that they're going to play as their seventh-inning stretch song after they play Take Me Out to the Ball Game, as is tradition in Major League Baseball games. They're going to play Little Red Corvette in honor of Prince. And that's their new seventh inning stretch song. So that's a nice way to pay tribute to him.
Well, getting back to D-Wade, based on the way he played last night in the opening game of that series against Toronto, 7 points in the overtime period. Maybe he's using that Prince tribute to spur him on.
That's also what a lot of people said. They said he's playing like Prince's favorite player. He's giving it his all. So maybe that gave him a little boost.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I mentioned that nice photo on Facebook that my producer Bill Werkinger took of Ashanafi Abeje and his family. Well, there's another photo on Facebook that you should check out of yours truly with Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa radio show. Heather, very accomplished, by the way, not just behind the microphone. She's a professional jazz singer, and she also composes original works using piano and other musical instruments. And Heather did not tell me to say that, Andrew. I promise you.
I was wondering if they get a deal worked out or something.
What else is trending, Andrew, well,
Speaking of deals worked out, no, Heather is a fantastic musician. But we were talking about Steph Curry, and he's certainly made himself a lot of money, not just from his basketball play, but from his endorsements, specifically with Under Armour. Well, Under Armour has a new sports star that they have endorsed, Bryce Harper, who is an outfielder for the Washington Nationals here in D.C.
Big star here in Washington.
Big baseball star. Under Armour just signed him under a contract for the next 10 years. They won't disclose how much it's for, but reportedly it is the largest ever endorsement deal in Major League Baseball history. Eclipses the $1 million a year that I believe Alex Rodriguez was getting, another big baseball star from Nike. But Under Armour, a lot of people noting, has made some really big moves. Tom Brady, Bryce Harper, Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth, the amazing golfer, all endorsed by Under Armour, all locked in from, 10, 12-year deals.
Big name signings.
Yeah, so as we see, Nike and Adidas as kind of the big names, Under Armour might be sneaking in there, and Under Armour might be the other big name in sportswear and sports endorsements.
And on a local note, Andrew, I believe Under Armour was founded by a University of Maryland graduate, University of Maryland, basically located in a suburb of Washington, D.C., in College Park, Maryland. And I think they have their headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland, so nearby.
It's got 45 kilometers up the road from D.C.
So real strong local ties to this area.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just the money that Bryce Harper stands to make from this, because part of it, they're saying, could be stock. In the past, they give athletes not just paying them for these endorsements, but company stock. And this company is on the rise. They're making some very successful athletes very wealthy, it seems. So a lot of people noting that on social media saying, wow, they're going to do quite well for themselves. Bryce Harper could be maybe a billionaire by the time he's done playing if he keeps up his endorsements.
Now, as you said, Andrew, the deal was not disclosed publicly what Harper is getting. And yet, how would you say baseball endorsements compare with maybe like something that Steph Curry might get? Would basketball be larger?
I think basketball, you see a lot more kind of the sneakers, the sportswear. Air Jordans are the sneakers that everybody talks about. Michael Jordan. There's some speculation that with this Bryce Harper deal, he could be kind of that pioneer for baseball to have, the sneakers and the sportswear and all that, and Bryce Harper, batting gloves and all those kind of things. So it may be, getting there with this announcement for baseball, but I think basketball probably has bigger endorsements right now.
Anything else trending, Andrew, in the sports world?
Well, speaking of basketball, I'll go back to American football briefly. And this, trust me here, I have a good transition for this. New York Giants won the Super Bowl in 1987. Quarterback Phil Simms, they say, what are you going to do next? He says, I'm going to Disney World. And this became a famous slogan in the sports world. I'm going to Disney World. Well, Kobe Bryant just retired. What'd he do? He went to Disneyland in California. Pictures of him all over social media, just walking around Disneyland, no security or anything. And in this day and age where everybody has a smartphone, people are taking pictures with him, taking selfies with him. He just seems to be enjoying his retirement, having a great time walking around Disneyland. So good for Kobe. Congratulations to him. And congratulations to all the people who visited Disneyland the other day and got to snap a picture with him.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And we'll see you on Thursday. And that wraps up the May 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer and photographer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Zimbabwe during 2015, the most important human rights problems remain the government's targeting of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists for abduction, arrest, torture, abuse, and harassment. Partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary, and restrictions on civil liberties. These are the findings of the U.S. Department of State in its recently released country report on human rights practices around the world. The report notes that Zimbabwe had many other human rights problems. Prison conditions were harsh. The government's expropriation of private property continued. Executive political influence and interference in the judiciary continued, and the government infringed on citizens' privacy rights. The government generally failed to investigate or prosecute state security or ZANU-PF supporters responsible for violence. Authorities restricted freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, and movement. The government continued to evict citizens, invade farms, private businesses and properties, and demolish informal marketplaces and settlements. The government also arrested, detained, prosecuted, and harassed non-governmental organization members. Government corruption remained widespread, including at the local level. Violence and discrimination against women, child abuse, trafficking of men, women, and children, and discrimination against persons with disabilities, racial and ethnic minorities, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex persons, and persons with HIV/AIDS were problems in Zimbabwe. The government there interfered with labor-related events. Zimbabwe's government took limited steps to punish security sector officials and ZANU-PF supporters who committed violations, but impunity continued to be a problem. In the arena of human rights, every government has the ability to improve, including the United States, said Secretary of State John Kerry. He noted that the contents of the 2015 report renew our commitment to promoting and protecting universal human rights, to supporting and defending civil society in its peaceful efforts to hold governments accountable, and to working with our partners to advance peace, development, human rights, and democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. We'll discuss Burundi's violence and security. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.